Hi guys, and welcome back to a very special in-studio episode of Anime Podcasters. This is a very exciting episode for me because it's a Canadian takeover. RG and I are here, you know, RG's brand new to the podcast, and he's able to make his way over to Montreal, and we're able to have this conversation in person. I'm very excited. No hotshot, no Keo. It's okay. Canadian takeover. RG, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm doing very good. Very excited to have you on the podcast right now. Today, what we are going to be discussing are forgotten Naruto characters. But before we get to that, we have three picks each. I want to give a big thank you to all of you listeners because on Apple Podcasts, you guys have been crushing it, okay? We have peaked in the animation and manga category on Apple Podcasts. We came in first in Qatar and Mongolia, second in Portugal and Mexico, third in Singapore, Costa Rica and Finland, fourth in Ukraine and Lebanon, fifth in Canada, let's go, sixth in France, and seventh in Switzerland. So very cool stuff, very exciting, really a pleasure to be doing this today. So let's, without any further ado, let's get to the first one. Are you good to go?
Yeah, because I see that you have all those fantastic results. And now you have me, so you know it's going to go even higher.
You better not spoil it, man. Like, you're coming in at the best era of anime podcasters this far. So, I mean, this is, you know, we're 150 plus episodes in at this point. We're hitting those Apple Podcast charts. I mean, we're still a very small podcast in the anime podcasting game. But it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to begin. So, all right, my first pick, I just want to hit it off with someone that I feel like we all forgot about this character. Do you remember Ibiki? If I say Ibiki, does that sound any sort of familiar to you?
No.
No.
If I say it sounds like a guy who has a lot of scars on his face.
Yeah, because you're seeing the picture in real time. This is the thing. Usually on my screen, Hotshot can't see what I'm talking about. But yes, Ibiki. Ibiki is the commanding officer of the Konoha Torture and Interrogation Force. He's a pretty intense guy. So where we find out about Ibiki is basically in the second part, the written test. Or is that the first part? Is the written test the first part? I feel like the written test is the first part. That's like the big one where people bow out. And he's really like this big mind control guy with his jutsu. And he's an intense person. His, how can I say, his ninjutsu, example, during his fight against Pain, the animal path, he's shown skillfully using the summoning jutsu, and he has a variety of like torture devices, like a torture chamber and an Iron Maiden. Like, that's really his thing. Like, he screws with your mind and he gets deep into that, and he gets the opponent to quit via the mind. That's why they put him in the Chunin exam at the very beginning to be the person who does the interrogation, the exam. And what I remember is Naruto passed that exam without answering a single question. He did not answer a single question, still passed. So very impressive. So yeah, Ibiki, I feel, is like one of those characters. He kind of showed up there. We kind of remember during the Pain arc because of his fight against the animal path, but other than that, very forgotten character.
I don't remember that he felt pain.
Yeah,
I remember him in the Chunin exam. I remember him being intense.
Yeah.
But what else is there to this character? I know him because he got scars. I know him because he was asking questions during the Chunin exam. It's basically it.
That's all he had to him. But I also feel like he, although he's forgotten, is a really cool character. You know what I mean? A few of the characters we're going to be discussing on this episode, they're forgotten for a good reason. They didn't bring much to the story. Ibiki, as a standalone character, I feel could have his own side story. We could definitely like delve into his background more in the anime and stuff like that. You see what I mean? I feel like he has more depth than other characters that we'll be discussing on this episode.
Yeah, but I feel like one of my friends and me talked about Naruto. It's like, it's a fantastic anime. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, of course.
Every character needs to have his own development, and like on the, like, I don't know, 500 600 episode, like how many of this episode is just every single character having their own backstory being revealed? And it's fine, but like some character like backstory needs to go, and I think this one, I think he could have maybe his own side series, but I'm really not interested of like what his story is.
Fair enough, fair enough. Honestly, the other thing too with this episode, guys, is yes, we have three picks each, but it's going to go by fast because these characters are forgotten for a good reason. We don't, there's not much on them. I mean, Ibiki's one of those where, yeah, he does have a lot of stuff. You know, he was there for the Chunin exams mainly, and then he's there a little bit for the paint assault chapter. And then, you know, he's really not seen that much. He just kind of appears very occasionally. Some trivia about him. The name Ibiki means snoring. So while his family name Morino means of the forest, in Japanese, his full name is interpreted as snoring in the forest. I mean, there's nothing more forgetful than snoring in the forest. Like, what are you? Are you like Shikamaru? Like, what's good, bro? Like, what's going on here?
I mean, that's a good name for a forgettable character. That's all I'm going to say.
Snoring in the forest. My first pick is snoring in the forest.
I guess my first pick is Hayate Gekko. I think it's Gekko.
Who?
He's a guy, you know, like...
Tell me about Hayate Gekko.
Hayate Gekko.
Okay.
You know, like during the Chunin exam, when the Orochimaru underling, what is it called again, the guy who does surgery from Jutsu?
When Orochimaru was like fighting the third Hokage?
Yeah, but like, you know, he has
Kabuto?
His psych. Yeah, Kabuto, yeah.
Yeah, Kabuto.
Yeah, he's not forgettable. I'm just really bad with names. So he's not forgettable. I'm just really bad with names.
This is the perfect episode for you in that case.
Yeah. So he's just there and he's like, oh, I've seen some people, I'm spying, and I see some people have bad plans about Konoha.
Oh, the guy with the sword, right?
Yeah.
The wind sword guy?
The wind sword guy's like, oh, I'm gonna go.
Dude, he's so forgettable. We established the picks before we started the episode, and I already forgot.
Yeah. It's really that. I'm like, my secret jutsu, I jump in front of the moon, and I disappear for a second, and I try to slice you with like wannabe wind slash, and he's like, I don't understand how his jutsu works, because, and when you see Sasuke like having like his lightning sword cuts like to almost everything, you have Naruto with his like wind sharingan, who's got almost can cuts through anything, and this guy is like, oh, the guy is like just put it into his armor. It's like, oh, my armor is too thick, can cut through me. You had the whole plan figured out and can reveal it to everyone, but you're gonna die.
He a very one-noted character, not much depth either to this one. I do remember that in Shippuden, I believe he is one of the reincarnated ninjas, but like he's there for like an episode, and I barely remember what he did. I just remember people being emotional about seeing him, and he was like attacking with his sword. But yeah. The only other thing I remember for this guy is like during the Chunin exam preliminaries, when it's like only the main characters are basically left after the Force of Death, you know, when they're in that spot and they're fighting one-on-one, you know, like Gaara versus Sasuke and all that stuff. He's the guy who's there like to like mediate the matches, but he barely does anything. And honestly, watching him there, he felt so dead, bro. Like he had nothing to say. He's like, next match, Naruto versus Kiba. Next match, Sakura versus Ino. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I feel like he's really not that strong. For me, he looks like the guy he won like last year, and he's like, oh yeah, like I have this side job. Like my job is not to protect the village. My job is to introduce people who's gonna fight in the tournament.
His job is to suck. Like he's just not an interesting character to me, like at all.
Like, what are you gonna resurrect it? Like, you're gonna be a meat chill or something, or like for nostalgia?
No, he was resurrected to be like in the war to fight against like the Shinobi Alliance and all that stuff.
Your but, job like, is nostalgia.
Like Kabuto reincarnated him. I remember this. Yeah. But like once again, super one noted. Nothing interesting to discuss here. Let's like genuinely move on, in my opinion. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about this character?
I could probably beat him 1-on-1. I don't know what else to say.
How Canadian of you.
I got metal armor, your ultimate counter.
yo. Low-key in a death battle, him versus like, who would be an interesting character versus him?
What was the name of the guy with the dog?
Kiba?
Yeah, his dog would be an interesting character because he would get whoop his ass by the dog.
Gosh, okay, fair enough. All right, let me go to my next pick, yo. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to go with this one. I will get some hate come my way because I feel like of all the characters on this episode, she's the most memorable, but she's still very forgotten, and she definitely takes a back seat in the show. I'm talking about Kurenai Yuhi. So she's basically a member of the Sarutobi clan, and during her active duty in Konoha, she was the Jonin leader of Team 8. Do you remember Team 8?
Yeah, I remember Team 8. I hope you're going to put some picture for our audience so they can see which character we're talking about, because they're like, some of them are so forgetful.
I mean, it's an audio only podcast, guys, so you guys got to look him up. But I feel like, honestly, if you're listening to this, you're a Naruto fan, and the picture of the person will pop in your mind. And if not, you know, just look up the name, you know, Kurenai.
Oh, well, this woman is famous for one thing and one thing only. She tried to use Genjutsu on Itachi. It's like, what do you mean it doesn't work? That's my whole.
Yeah, yeah. She used the demonic illusion tree binding death, and the next thing you know, she's in the tree and Itachi. Like, the thing is, bro. Like, why would you try to out Genjutsu Itachi Uchiha? That makes no sense, fam. You're going into battle with one of the greatest genjutsu users in the entire series. Although I will give her credit, she is a strong genjutsu ninja. Kurenai is known for genjutsu. That's what she does, right?
But at the same time, like, we understand like that the Uchiwas are the founding, one of the founding of the Hidden Leaf Village.
Yes, founding
clans,
yes.
They have a long history. So you know what they do. They're strong, they can copy your ability, and they can hypnotize you with their eyes.
Yeah.
So, you know. So you try and you still know.
Remember in that fight when Guy stepped in for Kakashi?
Yeah.
And he used a specific way to fight the Uchiha.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Look at the feet.
Look at the feet. Exactly. Look at the feet. But Kurenai was not about that life. Kurenai was like, I'm going to look you in the eyes, I'm going to genjutsu you, and then I'm going to stab you, and then it's going to backfire. Like, there's... what else can we say about her as a character? I mean...
I remember her as being pregnant.
Yes, yes.
Right before the podcast started, I was like... Jen was telling me, like, there's no, like, pregnant woman in Naruto.
I totally forgot about this part, but yeah, because she has Asuma's child, right?
Yeah.
So the thing with that is, once Asuma passes away, I think she goes through a whole character development. But like, correct me.
5 minutes.
But you know what I mean. Like, she definitely changes as a character. Fair enough. Once again, these forgettable characters are going to not get as much character development as the main cast. You know, like, not like the Borutos, the Narutos, the Utos, basically. But she doesn't really do much else as a ninja after that, right? Like, once she's pregnant, I feel like she stops being an active ninja.
That's like good for her, like that she's pregnant, because like that brings a lot of more like sense of the story with the death of her husband and the whole revenge story. But like in the same time, it kills the whole character, because once she gets pregnant, like she took off. She doesn't do anything anymore, and it's kind of sad, because I'm not really the biggest fan of Genjutsu, because for me, like, it's you get hypnotized and you win, or you don't get hypnotized and you're useless. I think her character was like pretty well done, like physically speaking, the personality. I really loved it at first.
Right. No, that's a very fair point. The thing though with her, I don't feel like we really saw her leadership when she was mentoring Team 8. Like, there may be a few battle scenes here and there, but I definitely saw Kakashi doing it, Guy doing it. But her as a Jonin, she was just like a Genjutsu protege, and I feel like she just got put in the Jonin take care of Team 8 role, and nothing much happened, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, like, all the screen time, mostly for like most of the Harvard students, were not that big and during the anime.
Yeah.
Which brings me also to my next
yes,
person.
Yes, please.
Miss Tenten. I think most of you remember her. If you don't remember Miss Tenten, it's easy. She's the lady that is in the team with, I think it's Hinata and... she's with Neji and Rock Lee, I'm sorry.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, you see how bad memory is. Anyway, so... she's there, and at first, like, you see her power, and like, oh my god, she can master all the weapon, and she's like, she can do like so many things, and then you realize after like,
and then she fought Temari.
Yeah, but she's like, she's not even using like any like, she's not even moving. It's like, oh, I'm deflecting your whip, your kunai with air. What you gonna do? It's like, oh, okay, fair enough. That's a kind of counter opponent. Okay. Then you have like Neji like fighting Naruto. It's like, oh, I can spin on myself and nothing is gonna attack me. And then you have like every other character that have like a way to deal with kunai, explosion and everything. And I'm like, her powers look so cool, but it's so useless.
I feel like it was a cool idea.
Yeah.
Like a cool idea. Like just like a ninja. She kind of had it, that Rock Lee thing where like, you know how Rock Lee, the thing I like about that character is like Rock Lee is like one thing and like only dedicated his craft to that one thing. Like taijutsu. Like punching hard. Yeah. That's like Rock Lee. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Definitely has recoil in his techniques. That's Rock Lee. Tenten is like the same concept but just ninja weaponry.
Yeah.
That's all she does. Ninja weaponry, which is cool, but I feel like it was poorly executed. I feel like you could have gone into so many different alleys with it, not just like throwing more kunais or having perfect aim. You know, like she could have such better character development, but I feel like she is super one-noted. She's kind of like interesting versus Temari, and then she doesn't do much else, I feel like, in the main plot. And then, honestly, you know what I remember Tenten for more than in Naruto? Yeah. I remember her more in Rock Lee's Springtime of Youth. Rock Lee and his ninja pals. It's the spin-off Chibi Rock Lee, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
Rock Lee's the main character. And because Tenten is his teammate, we see her way more. She speaks way more. She's way more interesting. And she has this, like, a voice of reason within that series. I discussed with this on episode 14 with Ben and Keel way back in the day. Way back in the day. Yeah. Shout out to Ben. Hope you're doing good, man. The thing with her is that after she got defeated by Temari, she really didn't do much. She participated in Shippuden. Yeah, she was there for the Great Ninja War. And in Boruto, the first time I saw her was when she developed, like, robots for the Chunin exam. Like, they were, like,
developed robots?
Like, sort of equipment-based robots or, like, traps for the Chunin exam. Second run of the Chunin exam.
I mean, that which could be is, great. Like,
the only thing you could use her for is develop...
I disagree a little bit. Like, she could have, like, she had a lot of potential. Like, she could have started with, like, ninja weaponry at first. But, like, then... Like, you know that you can make your weapon more strong by putting chakra into them. But, like, then that's Sasuke's thing. So, like, okay, I cannot do that. Then you have Killer Bee who's fighting with, like, eight sort of at the same time. Like, that could have been something that she could have been good for. Or she could have her own jutsu that would be like, oh, yeah, I have, like, I can throw kunai that, like, has a super huge mass, but then when I throw them, they're really not heavy. And oh yeah, they follow you. They follow you everywhere until like I stop my spell. Like they could have done a lot of things, but they just like nah. We're gonna focus on Naruto and Neji and all that stuff.
They definitely focus way more on Neji until his passing, obviously. And then I feel like the only character that kind of stood out in that it was like Lee and Guy. Like she really gets left by the wayside. The one thing I will say. She has a sick character theme. The character theme song that she has.
Oh,
very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool during her fight with Temari. Like, that's, like, definitely her shining moment. But, like, even just scrolling through her wiki page here, there's nothing going on that, like, I find very interesting. Like, she kind of has fights here and there. Like, Tenten and Lee confronted by Gurren. Yes, that was a fight that happened. The Pain Assault. Yeah, she's there. She's regrouping with some survivors. Cool. Five Kage Summit. She's there as in the Konoha 11. Okay, cool. There's really not much with this character. I feel like versus... you know what? I will take it back. I feel like she is more interesting than Kurenai. I feel like she put a bigger impact on the series than Kurenai.
Yeah, she definitely had an impact for like a little while, but she's such a waste of a good potential, and that's what makes her forgetful in my...
You know how I said I feel like Kurenai is the most memorable character in this? I feel Tenten is maybe a bit more memorable than Kurenai. What do you think?
I guess she's a little bit more rememberable, I guess, because we see her earlier and we see her more. And as I said, she has more potential. So yes, I would definitely agree that she's more rememberable.
All right, fair enough. All right. So, you know, we got Tenten here. And then I talked about Ibiki. And then I talked about Kerr and I. And it's time for the last pick. You know, we're kind of blowing through these. So I kind of want to build some tension here.
You want to go with your character or I go with my mind? Because I have the second most forgettable character.
Yeah, I'll finish with mine.
I'll finish with mine, Jay.
No. I think I'm gonna finish with mine, bro. I think we're good, bro. Thanks, bro. But I think the anime podcaster's tradition is one at a time, and I think we're gonna go with one at a time. All right, bro. Thanks, bro. Appreciate your input.
All right, go ahead.
No, but in all seriousness, I think I'll just finish with this last one. And it won't be a very long talk. When I say wood and I want to say ninja, who do you think of? Which Hokage do you think of? I'll make it even simpler for you.
I think it was the first Hokage.
The first Hokage.
Yeah.
So this character is injected with some of the first Hokage's DNA.
It's so hard to not think about the character that you mentioned because I'm seeing the picture right now.
I don't understand, but because there's a computer screen next to me that I'm using to refer to these characters.
I was about to say his name.
Yamato.
Yeah, the tree guy.
He is quite the force and quite the badass when first introduced in Shippuden as Kakashi's replacement. Let me refresh your memory since he is easily forgotten. He is an Anbu turned Jonin for Konoha and has wood release. And basically, that allows him to keep the Nine Tails sealed within Naruto Uzumaki, which is kind of why they put him to replace Kakashi. The thing with Yamato is that, you know, he is a force to be reckoned with. He definitely, like, can stand his ground, and he is a former Anbu. And
he's picking some heat.
Yeah. He's very discreet, he's very cautious, and he's very well-prepared. You know, very strong character for sure. But the thing is, how can I say this? After the Tailed Beast suppression, I feel like he peaked at that point when he suppressed the Naruto for the first time. Because then, when we get to the Great Ninja War, or I think a little bit before, I remember him getting captured by Kabuto and just being forgotten about.
Oh yeah, what happened after that?
So after he gets captured by Kabuto, he's not around. And we're all like, where is Yamato? What's going on? And then I feel like he reappears randomly when there's the whole everyone loses their consciousness and everything with the great jutsu and everything. I'm very, very general because I haven't seen Shippuden in forever. But long story short, I just remember Yamato like emerging and just be like, oh, I've been gone for so many years. And then he just gets genjutsu'd and then he can't speak anymore. So I feel like with a character with such a long gap in the series with not much to say, what else do you want to say about Yamato, bro?
I mean, that he was cool. He was packing heat. He was, I like this expression. And he was really cool when he was trying to seal the Nine-Tailed Fox inside of Naruto. And then I completely forgot that he got captured. So I remember like Yamato being captured, but then after that, I completely forgot what happened. And if you say it's true that he just popped up in the war to just get like 2 seconds later, get genjutsu'd and put into the internal sleep, that's kind of sad. I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't put him like in my opinion, in the most forgivable character, but definitely a letdown of his potential and his character. He served his one purpose and then, get captured and we'll see you in Boruto.
No, basically that was all there was to it. The other thing too, so I'm going to go back to this anime again, Rock Lee and his Ninja Pals. Yamato is so forgettable. Do you know what they use him for in that series?
Tree jokes?
They use him as, you know, whenever they describe like an attack or chakra, you always have like those stunt dummies, the character representation. That's what they use him for. Like he's just like the representation of like what would happen to you in this jutsu. So, you know, there's really not much with him. And, you know, what else is there to say about Yamato? It's Yamato.
I mean, I think he's a good character. He was there for a reason. He was fun to watch and I think that's it. I think most people are still gonna remember him.
No, I agree, man. I have nothing else to say about Yamato. Let's go to, and I believe that this final pick of yours, even of all, because I know who we were about to get into, go in there in the back of your mind, guys, and think of every single character you can think of. I guarantee you do not remember this character whatsoever. I don't know how you found out about this character being in the series. Super forgettable. Got nothing, got no depth, super boring. I'm already saying my points on this, but like, I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong. Let's get into this final pick of yours, RG.
Of course. So it's Yudan Ize, if I'm pronouncing them correctly. You can tell me in the comments if I don't. That's okay.
I'm sure.
He's going to blame it in the comments. Actually.
Yeah.
So you remember the Turtle Kage? This old, well.
Sarutobi?
Yes.
Yes.
He had a grandson who was quite.
Konohamaru.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quite a playful and nice guy. He's a great character. And he has two friends. One of these friends is a little girl that I forgot his name, but he's equally. She's not equally forgettable because I think one time she gets captured or in danger, so he has his job to save her.
I remember her because she had like a pretty poppy personality for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's the other guy who is Hudonise, who is just the other guy who. His whole personality is to have a bubble nose and being a little bit sleepy.
Yeah,
and
isn't he like sleepy and just like always has something in his nose?
Yeah, something like that. And I'm just like, I didn't really like the idea. They're like, oh yeah, they're gonna make a new team, of three people. And I don't know. It's like, I would have preferred more actually that the grandson of the Turtle Kage like just had like this random friend and this character. You don't even say just not being in the series. Like he didn't bring anything. He was not interesting. He was not funny. He was just like he was there.
No,
he was there
boring.
Because he's a ninja and they need to be in group of three. So we're gonna put this character there.
That's all it was to him.
Exactly.
No, I fully agree with you. The thing with Udon, the only other point I can bring up about him, bro, is when. I remember in Boruto, when I was still watching Boruto, he did this like one jutsu where like, I feel like I could be wrong, but I remember him shooting like snot out of his nose for one of his jutsus. And then just his opponent being completely stuck, like some Spider-Man thing where like the character cannot move. I think that's gotta be one of the grossest techniques ever. Definitely not pandemic friendly.
Definitely not pandemic friendly. And the guy is getting struck by his attack is like, I really hope he's a genjutsu. I really hope he's a genjutsu.
I really want this to be a genjutsu. Oh gosh, it's real. It feels so real for a genjutsu. Ah.
Well, I'm seeing right now.
I guess it's not good.
Oh my god. I'm seeing. I didn't watch Boruto. Because of dinosaur reason, but
oh my gosh, yeah. Can we talk about that for a half second?
Yeah, there's a guy on TikTok that was watching a video of it, and he's like, he just seen like one of the
Sasuke with a Velociraptor. Am I getting that right?
And the Velociraptor, Primary Lotus, one of the other dinosaur, and I was like, that's peak.
Well, when I saw Sasuke with dinosaurs, I was like, this is why I stopped watching Boruto. That the series just it took a path. It's gone down that hill and it's lost a lot of its fans, I'm sure.
Well, I'm already at the end of Naruto. In my opinion, like the plot was getting thicker and thicker by like the episode was like mastermind being controlled by a mastermind. Like I think a lot of people
failed
that. But like at the end, like the series and the Great War, we had like a really awesome fight. And in my opinion, it should have ended there. It was a long series, it was a long journey. We lost people. We make some great friends and some great memories. And they could have started do a little bit of Boruto to say, hey, now this is my life and I have a children. But like now I'm seeing like all the meme comparison of like Naruto like episode 15, Shippuden exam. Now Boruto episode 15, we're playing in the field.
Ridiculous, fam.
Yeah.
Nah, for sure. So, like, just to conclude on Udon, like, you know what? If you scroll down to really all the way down his wiki page, is there any sort of trivia that you can say? Like, at the very bottom of his wiki page, is there anything interesting, any sort of point worth mentioning about Udon? If not, like, let's just wrap it up because I feel like... Is there any fun fact you want to tell us about Udon? Any sort of blurb of any paragraph that you think would be worthwhile?
I think with his jutsu, with his nose, is the trivia about him. It's the only interesting things about him. I think, like, I see, like, in his Wikipedia that he grew up in Boruto and maybe he has more... deeper character, more... doing more stuff. But, yeah, that's basically all there is to it.
Right. Right. All right. Fair enough. Let's slowly wrap this up. This is going to be a shorter episode, but it's okay. My three picks were as follows. I had Ibiki, Yamato, and Kurenai. RG, what were your three picks?
My three picks were Yuronise, Denten, and Hayate Gekko.
Yep. All right. Is there anything else to mention here? No, like just, you know, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure to follow the podcast everywhere. And, you know, we will see you on the next Not Forgotten, Not Necessarily Naruto Topic episode of...
Anime Podcaster. Don't stop. Anime Podcasters.
You got it, buddy. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Hotshot here. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Anime Podcasters. We have over 100 other episodes for your entertainment found wherever podcasts are available, such as Spotify. We also release new episodes twice a month, so keep an ear out for us. You can follow the podcast at Anime Podcasters on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Giant Music's YouTube channel. Giant himself can be found on social media at Giant Music, as well as his own website, giantmusic.com. Kyo, our artist for the podcast, can be found on Twitter and YouTube at GoProKyo, as well as his website ccartgalleryportfolio.com. As for me, Hotshot, you can find me on YouTube and Twitter at HotshotGinger. As always, guys, thanks for listening to us. Hope to talk to you soon. Take care.